The Christmas season is upon us, friends. It's coming up on December 25th, and you know, so many people in this world, as we talked about last week, so many people in this world, specifically non-believers, have different ideas of what Christmas is all about. And some people think that Christmas is about giving and receiving gifts. That's what they think Christmas is about. Other people think about Christmas as a time for relaxing, hanging out with family and friends. And other people think of Christmas as a time for lights and sights. It's a time for fun. But we as believers know what the true reason for the season is. Amen?
Amen.
The true reason for the Christmas season is the celebration of the birth of Jesus Christ into this world over 2,000 years ago. So when we celebrate Christmas Day, December 25th, we're celebrating the birthday of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen?
Amen.
So last week we talked about, to recap last week, we talked about the season of love. The season of love. And, you know, godly love is expressed in giving. Godly love is expressed in giving. And godly giving is based on choice. The God kind of giving is based on choice. See, over 2,000 years ago, God chose to give His very best, Jesus Christ, to come to this earth, to do His work, die upon a cross for our sins, so that by faith in Him, we'd be heaven bound. And Jesus chose to give Himself upon the cross for us. So God chose, and Jesus chose. And so the question to us was this. This Christmas season, you can choose either one of two things. You can choose to have a pity party, poor old me, why am I in this position, so needy, stuck at the mission, or this Christmas season, you can choose to step out beyond yourself and make a difference in somebody else's life. Remember, God made a forever difference when He sent Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago, born as a baby in a manger in Bethlehem. And we, as imitators of God, can also make a difference in somebody else's life. We don't have to be caught up with ourselves this Christmas season. We can give out of ourselves. We can step out of ourselves. And we can give not only financially, not only physical gifts, but you can give others good deeds this Christmas season. And if there's somebody who's lonely out there, doesn't have anybody to talk to, spend some time with a depressed person, with a lonely person. Tell them that I believe in you and God loves you. That's giving of a good deed. Amen? So this Christmas season, don't ask, what can I receive? What can I get? Let's ask instead, what can I give to somebody else who is in greater need than me? Amen?
Amen.
All right, today I want to talk about God with us. God with us. If you have a Bible, you can turn to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1, the first gospel, verses 18 through 25. God with us. Matthew 1:18. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Verse 24, when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife, but he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. The key verse is verse 23 of Matthew 1. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. And that's the message today. God with us. God with each and every single one of you, and God with me. What did Jesus say about Him and God in John 10:30? Jesus said, I and the Father are one. And the writer of Hebrews in Hebrews 1:3 says that Jesus Christ is the exact representation of God's being. See, when Jesus came to this earth as a baby 2,000 years ago and he grew up, what did he come to do? What did Jesus come to this earth to do? According to John 10:30 and Hebrews 1:3, he came to reveal to us the heart of Father God, creator of heaven and earth. Amen? Jesus came to reveal to us God the Father. You see, God the Son, Jesus Christ, walked the streets of Israel in human form as a man. He was both fully man and fully God. And the Word of God says in Acts 10:38 that Jesus, when he walked this earth, he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil because God was with him. Amen? Now, if Jesus is the exact representation of God's being and he went about doing good when he walked Israel, what does that say about God the Father? It says that God the Father, wants to do something good in your life. And if you're oppressed of the devil today, God wants to set you free. Amen? He wants to deliver you because God is good. He's got something good in store for your life. He's got victory over addiction. He's got to rescue you out of the pit of depression. He's got reconciliation of a broken relationship for you today. God has got something good in store for your life. Amen? And that's what Jesus came to do. He came to reveal the being, the heart of Father God. You see, Jesus on this earth, he was with the people of Israel in human form. And where he was, there was peace. Because Jesus Christ, according to Isaiah 9:6, is the Prince of Peace. Let me say it again. When Jesus walked this earth, where he was, there was peace. Because he is the Prince of Peace. You might be going through a storm in your life tonight, today. But Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, wants to come into your life if you don't have him. And he wants to bring peace to the storm you might be going through right now. Now, Jesus told the disciples in John 16, he said that he was going to leave this earth, right? And he said that when he left this earth, he would leave them what?
A comforter.
He would leave them the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, to be with them. Amen? See, Jesus died upon a cross. He rose from the grave. He was on this earth. And then he ascended back to the Father. And when he ascended back to the Father, he sent them the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
Is that making sense?
Yeah.
So today, now, today, in today's age, in this new covenant, right, God is with us by how? By whom? How is God with you and with me? God is with us by His Holy Spirit that dwells on the inside of those that have accepted Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. Let me say it again. God is with you. God is with me for those who have accepted His Son, Jesus Christ, as Savior and Lord. God is with us by His Holy Spirit for those who have accepted Jesus, have said, Jesus, I believe in you. Jesus, I place my faith in you. God is with those people by His Spirit. Amen? Think of a person that you had a relationship with when you were younger. Maybe it was a person in high school. For the years you were in high school. Maybe it was a person in college. Some area of your life. And you know, that person was a friend, and you could talk with that person. You could share your heart with that person. And it felt good when you were with that person, when that person was with you, because they provided companionship. And maybe that person is no longer with you, because maybe it was a seasonal relationship, and maybe you missed that person. Or maybe that person was a long-term friend. You were friends with that person for many, many years. And maybe this person has left you. Maybe they died. Or maybe this person has forsaken you. And maybe today you're feeling alone. You feel like you've got no friends. You don't feel like you have somebody out there that you can truly call a friend, a person that you spend time with. But I've got good news for you today. What's the good news? The good news is from Hebrews 13:5. It says that God will never leave you. God will never forsake you. Parents may have forsaken you. Maybe a grandparent has forsaken you. Maybe an aunt, maybe an uncle. Maybe that person of years ago has forsaken you. But there is one who will never leave you and never forsake you. And it is God the Father. Amen? Say it with me today. God will never leave me. And never forsake me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's go back to the garden here for a second. Adam and Eve in the garden. Adam and Eve in the garden had fellowship and friendship with God. According to Genesis 3:8, God walked about in the cool of the day in the garden. He fellowshiped with Adam and Eve. There was friendship between Adam and Eve and God. And God placed them in the Garden of Eden. And God said to them, I'm placing you in this garden. You can eat of any tree in the garden, but the tree I do not want you eating of is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For in the day that you eat of it, you will surely die. So who comes along in Genesis chapter 3? The tempter, the devil. He tempts the woman to eat of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. She eats. She gives some to her husband. And at that point, sin enters the world. What is sin? In a nutshell, what is sin? Sin is separation from God. If you read to the end of Genesis chapter 3, Adam and Eve were banished. They were dismissed from the garden. They were separated from God. They were now out of relationship with God because they had sinned. They now had the sin nature. And friends, that sin nature has been passed down from generation to generation. Amen? The psalmist wrote, I was born in sin and shaped in iniquity. But there's good news. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. If you got a Bible, you can turn there. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 18. 2 Corinthians 5. Though that fellowship, that friendship was lost with God by sin, God had a solution. 2 Corinthians 5, 18. All this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. Amen? Yeah.
Amen.
Friendship and reconciliation with God has been regained through whom? Let me say it again. Fellowship and friendship with God has been regained through whom? Through Jesus Christ and his work on the cross and our faith in him. By faith in Christ, friends, we can have friendship with God. We can have fellowship with God again. And, you know, when you accept Jesus Christ, when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, as your Lord, the Spirit of God came to dwell on the inside of you. And so Emmanuel, God, is with you. If you've never accepted Christ, at the end of this message, you'll have an opportunity to do so. Or maybe you accepted Christ at some point in the past, and maybe you got upset with God. Maybe you got upset with someone, and you slipped away from Christ. And you feel that God is not with you. You'll have an opportunity at the end to reconcile, to recommit your life to Christ, and have fellowship and friendship with God. Amen? He is God with us. Say, God.
God.
You are with me.
You are with me.
24 hours a day?
7 days a week.
Let's talk about God with us for the next few minutes. God with us. Friends, if you have no one else this Christmas season, if you have no one else in your life this Christmas season that you can call a true friend, remember this, the greatest in the universe is with you. God. How is God with you? How is Jesus, God the Son, with you? By his Spirit who lives on the inside of you. Remember, God is with you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. What did Jesus say about God the Father in Matthew 10, verse 30? He said that God the Father has every single hair on your head numbered. Isn't that amazing? God knows how many hairs you have in your head. And for us men, he knows how many whiskers we have on our mustaches, on our beards. He knows everything about you. Every little thing. Now, let me tell you this today. Listen. Every little thing that concerns you, as well as the big things, concerns the heart of God. Let me say it again. Every little thing that concerns your heart concerns the heart of God. The next meal, the next cup of coffee, the next $2 bus fare. If it concerns you, guess what? It concerns God, the God who is with you. You know, last year we do an outreach at another shelter here in downtown at the Day Center on the third Sunday of every month. And this was back in 09. This woman was given a testimony at the beginning of the service, and she says, I have a testimony to give. She said, I was just asking God yesterday for a Bible. I did not own a Bible. And she says, you know what? You guys came today with Bibles, and now I have a Bible. I just want to give praise and glory to God for this Bible. Amen? God knew what was on that woman's heart, and He gave her what she was asking for. If He could do it for that woman last year in 2009 at the Day Center, friend, He can do it for you today. Amen? Every little thing that concerns you, that bothers you, that worries you, concerns the heart of God, and He's about to go into action on your behalf. Let me tell you this, God has got your back. Anybody ever hear that expression? I've got your back? One friend telling another friend, man, I've got your back. You can be safe and sound. I'm protecting you. Well, guess what? The greatest in the universe, God has got your back. He's about to go into action for your life. He's about to do a miracle in your life. He's about to intervene where you need Him most. Amen?
Amen.
All right. That friend in high school that we talked about, that person who was a friend years ago, how did you build a relationship with that person, with that other human being? How did you build a relationship with that person of years ago? Maybe it was that high school student. Maybe it was that grandparent. Maybe it was a parent, a brother, a sister, somebody in college, somebody in another state. How did you build relationship with that other human being? How did you build relationship with them?
Talking.
Exactly. Communication, by communicating verbally. Is that making sense? How did you know that that person, that friend of the past, was with you? How did you know that that person was with you? Think about that friend for a second here. That person who was with you years ago. Maybe it was a long-term relationship. Maybe it was a short-term one. How did you know that person was with you? How did you know it? They related to you. That's good, because when you talked and shared your heart, whether it was a sorrow, whether it was something to give joy to God about, when you talked and shared your heart, that person listened, right? That person listened, and they connected with you. And how did they show you that they connected with you? They responded back after you shared your heart. Is that making sense? Because any friendship, any relationship with another human being is two ways, right? You share with that person verbally, and then they respond back. And they share with you, and then you respond back to them. Is that making sense? So you knew that that person was with you, that they connected with you, because what? They responded verbally back to you when you shared with them. Is that making sense? Now let me ask you this today. How do you build relationship with God, with Jesus?
Communicating.
By communicating. This man is reading my message. That's good. Now let me ask you this. How do you know then, second question, that God is with you? How do you know that Jesus, Emmanuel, is God with you? How do you know that God is with you? You might feel all alone in this world. What assurance is there that God is with you, friends? That's it. Because when you share your heart with God, amen, when you share your heart with God, when you share your concern with God, God listens, like that friend, right? And then what does God do? He connects with you. And how does He show you that He's connecting with you, that He's relating with you? How does God show you that He's connecting with you? He responds back to what you tell Him. Amen? So when you talk to God and say, you know what, God, I'm having a pretty bad day. I just need somebody to tell me that they believe in me. And somebody walks along and says, you know what, I believe in you. That goes to show you that God was thinking about you, that God responded to you, right? God, you know, I don't know whether I should stay at this mission or move. God, should I stay in this state or move to another state? God, should I go to this church or another church? God, should I marry this person or that person? God, should I take this drug addiction course or that one? And when you're asking God these questions, what are you doing in essence? What are you doing? You're communicating with God. You're praying to God. And somebody once said, it seems that God does nothing except someone prays. So when you get lonely and you don't have somebody to talk to, you don't have somebody to share your questions with, share them with God. Talk to God and say, God, I know you're there. God, I know you're with me by your Spirit. And this is my question. And I guarantee you, friends, when you talk to God and you ask Him that question, I guarantee you that God will respond. And that's what prayer is. Prayer is, it's two-way communication with the Creator of the universe. Amen? Amen. Is that making sense today?
Amen.
All right, so let me read this article to you by Oz Hillman. It's a good article. It says this: I have other sheep that are not of the sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. A friend of mine told me a story about an experience he had in Israel. They were in the country visiting some of the famous biblical sites when they saw a group of sheep herders. A shepherd brought his flock of sheep into a round pen for the night. Then a few minutes later, another shepherd brought his flock into the pen. Then a few minutes later, yet another shepherd brought his sheep into the pen. There were three groups of sheep in the pen with no identifying marks amongst any of them. My friend wondered how in the world they would separate their sheep the next day. The next morning, a shepherd came over to the pen and made a comment to his sheep. One by one, the sheep filed out to follow him. Only his sheep followed his voice. My friend said it was an amazing scene to see only that the shepherd's sheep follow him and that the others remain in the pen. What a picture of Jesus' words spoken centuries earlier. Hearing and responding to Jesus' voice is the key to having two-way relationship with God. Amen?
Amen.
It is the difference between having religion and relationship. Can you recognize God's voice in your life? Are you listening to the shepherd's voice? Do you respond when he calls? Ask Jesus to help you increase your ability to hear. Give more time to spending quiet moments in his presence to hear his voice. He wants to be your good shepherd. Amen? He wants to be your good shepherd. So God wants to communicate with you. The way that you know that God is with you this Christmas season and beyond is that when you have a question, you have a concern, something you need to share with God, share it with Him, and He will respond back to you. And we don't have time to go over this, but if you read 1 Kings 19, verses 8 through 18, Elijah was afraid of Jezebel. He had killed so many false prophets of Baal, and Jezebel was after him. He hid in a cave in Horeb. And then there was an earthquake, there was a fire. There were so many different things, and God was not in the earthquake. He was not in the fire. And then there was the still, small voice. 1 Kings 19, verses 8 through 18. The way God speaks, friends, is how. You know, you can share your questions with God, but you've got to know how God speaks. How does God speak and respond to your questions, your concerns? He speaks and responds with the still, small voice of peace. He spoke to Elijah with a still, small whisper. Peace on the inside. And just like He did with Elijah, God is no respecter of persons. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. If He spoke to Elijah with a still, small voice of peace, He wants to speak to you and me in the same way. Is that making sense? See, if you're asking God a question, God, do I go to this church? God, do I marry this person? God, do I go to this class? God, do I get involved with this ministry? God, do I take this job? And if you ask God these questions and God is saying no, guess what? You'll have no peace on the inside. But if you pose those questions to God and God is saying, yes, this is what I want you to do, you'll have what on the inside? Peace. You'll hear the still small voice like Elijah did. Peace, amen? That's learning to hear the voice of God. And that still small voice of peace is right, you hear it right here in your human spirit, right where your gut is, right where your heart is, right here. You hear it. You sense that peace. So you speak to God, and He speaks back to you. How do you know that God is with you? Because when you speak to Him, He's going to respond back to you by His still small voice.